Federal Parliament resumes today to pass the government's massive $130 billion JobKeeper package, which aims to save 6 million jobs in jeopardy because of the coronavirus pandemic. Labor said it won't block it, but it does want to make some changes. Internal travel restrictions could continue for 6 months, according to the Health Minister, but international borders might be a longer-term proposition, Greg Hunt says, as other countries will be at different points of transmission. The government's based its decisions about borders and social distancing on theoretical modelling, which it released yesterday. Professor Jodie McVernon from the Doherty Institute in Melbourne is one of those involved in devising those calculations. Professor McVernon, is it possible that the peak might have been reached in Australia?
So I think it's very important to be careful about what we are saying when we say the peak might have been reached. I think in Australia, we, as we've explained, have seen a big rise in imported cases. That's been really the driver of our epidemic curve, if you like. And that's been very badly misinterpreted by many to think that that's the rate of growth of the epidemic in Australia. We have had some infections arising from those people, which have largely been identified and shut down. But really what we're trying to understand now is the growth of infections that are arising and occurring within Australia. And we're looking at the trajectory, at the rate of growth of that epidemic and the effectiveness of the measures that are in place to suppress it.
The modelling released yesterday wasn't based on Australian data or measures. It showed in theory, without any restrictions or physical distancing, that 35,000 Australians could need ICU treatment each day of its peak. Is the value here in shocking people into what's required to avoid that?
So the value of the modelling early on was to say, if these are the characteristics of this virus, it is very, very serious. And our government very clearly heard that. So I think the value of that early scenario modelling of saying what could happen if we do nothing was really important in driving very decisive action early in Australia about things like border measures and repatriation and quarantine and isolation and case finding and about setting off a whole train of preparedness activities while we bought time with those measures to try to delay importation of the virus.
And you're now working on adjusting that modelling to factor in the Australian data and restrictions. How long before that work's done and ready to share with the public?
Yeah, so there's kind of a perception that there's one model to rule them all. So this was a model, as we say, of scenarios. The modelling that's being done now is to actually look at the rate of growth of our local cases. And people look at us a bit puzzled and say, but we've had 6,000 cases, why don't you know yet? And it's because we have so few a proportion of those cases that are actually arising here. And as we impose measures in Australia to reduce the spread, the rate of growth of the virus is going to be changing over time. So, teams of modellers are looking at using different approaches that have been applied internationally to look at that rate of growth. And the more information we have, the more time we have to observe it, we'll be more certain. That information is then what helps us understand, is this rate of growth going to hit the ceiling of our hospital capacity? Are the measures being effective? What is the balance that that will allow us to hopefully resume some measure of normal life, but still not overwhelm our health system, still not overwhelm our society? And that's the really difficult piece that's coming ahead.
Now, the strict measures have worked so far to suppress the virus, but as you say, life has to return to normal at some point. Businesses and schools need to reopen, and the government economic support is there for 6 months. If Australia doesn't have a vaccine or antivirals within 6 months, what choices do we have?
This is a global conversation. This is what all of our collaborators, this is what every other high-income country that actually can apply these measures over a sustained period is currently asking. And we are facing, an impossible dilemma. So we look at how other countries have managed this. Countries like Singapore and South Korea and others have much more intensive case finding and contact finding strategies, which have enabled slightly lesser social restrictions to be in place. Other countries, like many in Europe and elsewhere, where, they've basically had to respond to a crisis, have gone straight for lockdown, but now need to work out what other strategies might help. And I think the key message of the model, which is highly theoretical, but is that you need a multi-pronged approach, and you need to work out how to balance those different aspects that will, stop people getting infected in the first place by distancing, shut down chains of transmission where they start by case finding, and then provide care for those who still get through and need it. These three things together work, but how we can use those tools available to us while we're waiting for effective drugs, while we're waiting for vaccines, is really the challenge in getting through this next phase.
Many are hoping for a vaccine, but one may not be discovered. Is it false hope to plan on having a vaccine?
Look, I think we need to applaud and recognise the intense international effort that's going into this, and the organisations like CEPI that have set up the sort of prior networks and capacities to mean that this process can be accelerated. So I think all of that is great, and we all are hoping for a vaccine. I've also worked in vaccines for 20 years, and there are many diseases for which we would like to have vaccines that we don't. So I think it's important to know that there are no guarantees, but there is a lot of hope. And even when we have vaccines, will those vaccines protect perfectly? So we really need to understand how those vaccines might work, how they're best used, and where they're best applied.
You've worked on pandemic modelling for more than a decade. Most people will survive this, but there will be a loss of life. What is your message to Australians?
My message to Australians is we are going to have to get through this. We're going to have to get through this as well as we can. But we cannot promise that lives will not be lost. And that is a really difficult message because, you know, in our modern medical age, we are very used to being able to fix everything or to prevent everything. And again, that's a luxury that's open to a relatively small proportion of the world's population, but it's something that we kind of expect. And I think this is a bit of a wake-up call for us that we can't cure every disease, we can't fix every disease. We are out there trying to find the things that will reduce death and that will prevent infection. But in the meantime, we actually have some very old tools available to us. These public health measures are old, tried and trusted strategies, but they're not an ultimate solution. We understand that.
Professor, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
That's Professor Jodie McVernon from the Doherty Institute in Melbourne.